This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Currently on at the Sandton Theatre on the Square is Harold Pinter's one-act play, The Dumb Waiter. Set in a dimly lit recess of a desolate basement, two hitmen, Gus and Ben, await their next assignment. Award-winning actor Brent Palmer and Jock Kleinhans take the role of Gus and Ben, respectively, and they're both my guests now to tell me more. Brent and Jock, welcome and thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks, Cherise.
Thanks very much.
The play has been described as one of the greatest one-act plays of our time. What interpretation do you bring to it?
Well, I think, both Brent and I, just being the actors that we are, that is like an interpretation in and of itself. I think just our chemistry on the stage and with director Aidan Scott's vision, you know, we bring a sense of contemporaneous to it and an exciting element to a classic piece.
It is a classic piece, and you say the work that you've done together. Tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Right. Do you want to go for it?
Well, you know, I've been in the industry for a few years, but last year when I got the call from Jock and Aidan to be involved in this project, you know, Aidan Scott called me up and said, "Listen, we're doing The Dumb Waiter. We'd love you to be involved in this piece," and I said yes in a shot, because to work with these two young sort of mid to late 20s something creatives was an absolute sort of wonderful invitation to work with them, and then to do a play like Harold Pinter's The Dumb Waiter, this absurdist comedic piece with just these incredibly timeless themes, felt like an absolute gift. So yeah, I feel an absolute joy being able to collaborate with them.
Brent, what was your trajectory into the world of theatre?
So I started sort of around year 2000. I'd gone off to I'm from Cape Town, from the Cape Flats, and I went off to the cheapest way that I could travel and see the world when I went after university was to work on a kibbutz in Israel in the 90s, and I went off to Israel, and then I got a visa to the UK, and then I got to London, and I trained to be an actor in London, and then I returned to this country. And you know, I've been involved for about sort of 25 years as an actor and a teacher and a director. And then last year I get a call from these two cats to do Pinter, and I'd done a bunch of plays up until that point, and I'm just amazed that I'm in my sort of early 50s now, and to be collaborating with these 20-somethings, they're so incredible, so creative, so generous. They have like such incredible creative sort of acumen, and that I embrace the opportunity to just keep learning and growing with them. So that's incredible, yeah.
And the world of theatre in London versus Joburg?
It's a bigger pond. It's devilishly exciting. I know Jock knows a lot about it as much as I do. We've both gone to see plays there quite recently, and I think it's exciting. I don't know what your lens on that is, Jock. I mean, it's an exciting world, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like there's a big part of, it's a big part of the culture there. You know, people are born and raised on theatre, and it's deep rooted in their history and their culture. You know, Shakespeare and all these wonderful writers across the years. It's you know, people go and watch the theatre from a young age, and I guess that's kind of, you know, the dream here for South Africa. We want people to be able to go to the theatre and that for that to be a more common occurrence for people on a week to week, month to month basis. You know, let's build that culture, I think, a little bit more in South Africa.
Do you find that it is grabbing a little bit more than it has been?
What, the theatre? I've only been in this industry now for like about 2 or 3 years. And, you know, before then I was just a spectator myself before I went and studied at a UCT drama school. What I do think is that, people often don't really know what they're going to go see. And it might be a little bit out of one's comfort zone to go and watch something like a Harold Pinter play, for example, one that they've never really heard of. You know, they know the musicals, they know the exciting stuff, but for something a little bit more of a niche, I think maybe there's a bit of hesitancy there to go. And what I can say is you're missing out if you don't.
Tell me a little bit about what people can expect for this Harold Pinter.
I think having to confront, not being given easy answers and having to face a little bit of uncertainty with being an audience member is that you don't really know. It's quite an offbeat script and quite an offbeat staging of it, I think. And people might sit there and have to deal with, for example, the silences in the production. The silences that I think kind of can make people feel a bit uncomfortable in the moment of watching. And they might have to just sit in that for a bit. And it's quite an experience. Someone described it as a bit of a hypnotic, production. And I think that's quite a nice way to put it, yeah.
In terms of independent theatre, what are you trying to do?
There aren't a lot of opportunities for big productions to take the risks to put on niche productions such as a Harold Pinter or a Samuel Beckett or a Sam Shepard, because there is a lot of funds and finances that have to be considered, and it is a big risk. So for myself and Aidan, I think we looked at what was realistic for us financially and how we could put this on, and we just thought like, heck, let's give it a go. Let's try and do something special here. Let's try and make something interesting, something that's not normally seen. And let's take a classic and bring it to South Africa and try and do something special with that.
What has the reception been?
I mean, I think it's been, if you're happy for me to take a jock, I think it's been a very generous reception.
Yeah.
I think it's been interesting. I suppose the spread and the variety of responses we've received for the piece, some people have been absolutely fascinated with how evocative the play on an aesthetic level, on a thematic level, on a staging level it is, I mean, people have said, we've never seen anything like this, it's sort of, it's reframed sort of how we look at theater, and it's exhilarating, and the amount of sort of analyses that has gone with that, and such exciting conversations we've had after the piece, because I suppose it doesn't fall into realism. There's not this sort of through line of, one character going and there's these obstacles and they've got to overcome those obstacles and it sort of ends in a neat resolution. It's not one of those plays. I don't think Pinter wanted to write those plays. He wanted to interrogate a little bit, and he was sort of commenting on the state of the world in this sort of micro setting that he would create for us. So it was if nothing else, it was food for thought and food for critical thought. Mm. And that's what people are confronted with now. And of course there's dark humor and there's ambiguity and there's things.
And there's mystery and suspense.
And I think that's what's so exciting for audiences. So when we speak to people afterwards, it's like, I find it fascinating. Just the meaning that they make of the play through what they say. So that for me is half of the joy of performing this piece is the actual conversation afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly that, because there's no one interpretation of a show like
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
And so for us as artists who are just telling the story to be, told their interpretation and kind of theories about what these people are going through when they're watching it, that is the most exciting thing. And you just get, it's like fun, it's play, it's the most joyful kind of storytelling.
And I think it's a testament to the genius of Pinter.
Yeah.
Because he was able to write something that sparks such reaction.
Mm.
And you know that you're working with great writing when you get that response. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you spoke earlier, Jacques, about the musicals. Like, the musicals are so popular, everybody knows, and they're fully booked, they're big performances. Mm. And then you get the classics that make you think and, quite timeless and all the rest. Where do you cater? How do you cater for your audiences? And to what extent are you setting the agenda? And to what extent are you trying to encourage more of what you like?
I think, for me, if I was saying to my mom earlier on today, if there's five people that say like, sure, they didn't expect to walk into the theater and experience something like that, or they've never experienced something like that. You know, maybe they've gone to see Mamma Mia and Sound of Music, great as they are, but you know, maybe they haven't experienced something on this level. You know, only two actors on a small stage in a more intimate theater. And if my joy comes from if they say, well, sure, I want to go to the theater more often. I want to go to the Market Theater. I want to go to Santon Theater on the Square. I want to see this different stuff. I want to experience it all. And that is, I think, that's where I get my excitement and joy from, you know, is just making those small differences. And hopefully they, over time, they make a bigger impact, you know.
Do you want to add to that, Brent?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's when I think about it generationally as well, you know, sort of the younger audiences also terribly receptive to the piece.
Yeah.
Many of the younger audiences we've had have had such insightful views on the piece. Like, I suppose there's a real openness to sort of exploring the sort of the pieces that have obvious entertainment value as opposed to the pieces which have sort of speak to you in a slightly different way. And that's been, you know, that's been very exciting. Because even as an actor, I mean, I know what the experience is like, you know, going to watch a musical or a more accessible play as opposed to watching a piece like this. And I think that sometimes it's just like a small recalibration one needs to do. So you sit and you go like, okay, so this is not necessarily
there's no
what
opening
I'm entirely
number.
Used to. There's no opening number exactly. Yeah. yeah. But, you know, given a chance, I think that all art forms, you know, whether you're looking at a I don't know, a Jackson Pollock or an Irma Stern, you know, it's two very different pieces.
Yeah.
But it still speaks to you in a very different way. So yeah, I feel the same way about all art forms, you know. And Harold Pinter is, I don't know, it's not all that different.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's interesting because, you know, with the world of immediacy that we live in and everything is at our fingertips, for, you know, young people, like you were saying, and we have experiences with younger audiences, for them to kind of like respond to it because, well, you know, with TikTok, Instagram, Netflix, boom, everything you can get right here, right now. And that piece pushes against it, or this piece pushes against it quite heavily. You have to wait, and
yes,
you have to sit, and you have to focus.
You have to think
to get that delayed gratification.
I mean, it's true what you say. I mean, I was at a play just a while back, and I was sitting with an audience that were also very young and possibly first time theatre goers, and they were so taken in by what was happening on the stage that it was like, it was more enjoyable in a way watching them than the actors, because I wasn't expecting that response. Maybe because I'd known the story and I knew what was going to happen, but also because it was a South African story and it dealt with race. And they were so taken in a way I imagine people aren't taken in anymore,
right,
if you're living on in a digital age.
Yeah. Was that Master Harold and the Boys?
Yes.
Okay, yes, yes, yeah, right, yes. No, I heard wonderful things about that show. I wasn't in town. I'm sad I didn't get to see it.
It was incredible. But honestly, the kind of the racism on stage that we grew up with,
right,
was new to the audience members. And they were like, yo, that's not acceptable, you know, and did this really happen?
Yeah, sure, that's powerful.
It was so powerful. And that is the art of the theater.
Yeah, it's transformational, right? People don't get to, we are often not exposed to things these days because there is a hesitancy to have these kinds of conversations. And so now when it's placed in front of you in real time, it's quite confronting.
So if anybody would like to go and see The Dumb Waiter, what are the details?
Well, you can get it at you can look at your tickets at theatreonthesquare.co.za, and there is a link to web tickets over there. However, you could also just go through to web tickets on on and type in The Dumbwaiter. We also have an Instagram page, The Dumbwaiter 2025, and there's links all over there. It's on my Instagram as well. I don't know if I should blow myself up here.
Please go ahead.
Jock Kleinhans, one word, all lowercase. And yeah, you can find the link there. And
it's showing until?
Until the 24th of August, this Sunday.
So basically, you've got to be quick.
Yeah. We have four more shows.
Yeah.
More shows.
We've got a 7:30 show tonight, a 5 o'clock and an 8 o'clock show tomorrow, and a 3 o'clock show on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So it's actually 4 o'clock tomorrow, and it's different times as to
it's
last
It's 4 o'clock tomorrow, four. And then 8 o'clock at night.
And then 8 o'clock at night, that's right. Correct. And then I think 3:30 to Sunday.
Perfect.
Sunday the 24th.
So please go and support both Brent and Jock, and of course, Daphne and the Sandton Theatre on the Square. Thanks so much for joining me, Brent Palmer and Jock Kleinhans.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much, Cherise.
Thank you, Cherise.